Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
There's something unsettling about driving long distances at night. The road stretches out endlessly, the world outside reduced to a narrow beam of light from your headlights. I had always enjoyed the solitude of nighttime driving, but this particular night changed everything. I was returning from a week-long business trip, eager to get home to my family. The route I had chosen was a remote highway cutting through vast stretches of countryside. The night was moonless, the sky a blanket of stars. As the hours wore on, the hum of the engine and the steady rhythm of the road began to lull me into a trance-like state. It was around midnight when I first saw him. A figure standing by the side of the road, his thumb outstretched. The sight of a hitchhiker in the middle of nowhere was surprising, to say the least. I hesitated for a moment, debating whether to stop. But something about his posture, the way he stood there so confidently, made me pull over. As he approached the car, I rolled down the passenger window. "Need a ride?" I called out. He nodded, a faint smile playing on his lips. "Thanks," he said, his voice calm and steady. He was an older man, with graying hair and piercing blue eyes. His clothes were worn but clean, and he carried a small, weathered backpack. I unlocked the door, and he climbed in, settling into the seat with a sigh of relief. "Where are you headed?" I asked as we pulled back onto the road. "Just a bit further down," he replied, his eyes fixed on the road ahead. The road stretched on, and we drove in silence for a while. There was something unsettling about David's presence, something I couldn't quite put my finger on. He seemed almost too calm, too composed for someone hitchhiking in the middle of nowhere at this hour. I found myself glancing at him more frequently. There was something about his calm demeanor that didn't sit right with me. I tried to shake off the feeling, focusing on the road ahead. The miles ticked by, the silence growing more oppressive with each passing minute. I could feel David's eyes on me, a constant reminder of his presence. The road ahead seemed to stretch on forever, the darkness pressing in from all sides. It was then that I noticed the car behind us. Its headlights appear out of nowhere, following us closely. I glanced at the rearview mirror, my heart rate quickening. The car was gaining on us, its headlights blindingly bright. "Do you know them?" I asked, trying to keep my voice steady. David turned to look, a strange expression crossing his face. "No," he said quietly. "But it looks like they know us." A chill ran down my spine at his words. The car behind us was closing the gap, its engine roaring. Panic began to set in as I pressed down on the accelerator, trying to put some distance between us. "Don't worry," David said calmly. "They won't catch us." His words did little to reassure me. The car behind us was relentless, matching our speed with ease. My mind raced with possibilities, each more terrifying than the last. Who were they? And why were they following us? Suddenly, David leaned forward, pointing to a narrow dirt road up ahead. "Turn here," he said urgently. I hesitated for a moment before swerving onto the dirt road. The tires skidded on the loose gravel, and we were plunged into even deeper darkness. The car behind us sped past, its headlights disappearing into the night. I breathed a sigh of relief, my heart still pounding. "What was that about?" I asked, turning to David. He was gone. The passenger seat was empty, the door still closed. My mind struggled to comprehend what had just happened. I pulled over, my hands shaking as I tried to make sense of it all. Had I imagined him? Was this some kind of hallucination brought on by exhaustion? I got out of the car, scanning the darkness for any sign of him. The night was silent, the only sound the rustle of leaves in the wind. I called out his name, but there was no response. It was as if he had never been there. Feeling a surge of panic, I got back into the car and continued down the dirt road. The path was narrow and winding, the trees pressing in on either side. My mind raced with questions, each one more troubling than the last. After what felt like an eternity, I saw a light up ahead. It was a small cabin, nestled in the woods. The sight of it brought a sense of relief, and I pulled up in front of it, hoping to find some answers. I knocked on the door, and an elderly woman answered, her eyes widening in surprise. "Can I help you?" she asked, her voice kind but wary. "I'm sorry to bother you," I said, my voice trembling. "I picked up a hitchhiker back there, but he disappeared. Have you seen anyone around here?" Her expression softened, a look of understanding crossing her face. "You must have met David," she said quietly. I stared at her, my heart pounding. "You know him?" She nodded, her eyes sad. "David was my husband. He died on this road 5 years ago, trying to get home. You're not the first to see him." A chill ran down my spine as her words sank in. It was real. I had encountered a ghost, a restless spirit trying to find his way home. I thanked her and got back into my car, my mind reeling. As I drove away, I couldn't shake the feeling that David was still with me, watching over me from the shadows. The road ahead seemed darker than ever, the night filled with unseen dangers. I never picked up another hitchhiker after that night. The memory of David and the car that followed us still haunts me.
If you're enjoying it so far, make sure you hit that subscribe button.
The thrill of a solo road trip is something I've always cherished.
There's NASCAR on Prime lights up Music City. Who's got what it takes to tackle the concrete at Nashville Super Speedway and walk away with NASCAR's coolest trophy? Stream the NASCAR Cup Series at Nashville, Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, where music meets motorsports, only on Prime.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
The certain freedom that comes with the open road, the wind in your hair, and nothing but the horizon ahead. This particular trip, however, was different. The road I had chosen to travel was a winding mountain path, notorious for its dangerous curves and steep drops. Locals called it the Devil's Backbone, and I was about to find out why. It was late afternoon when I started my ascent up the mountain. The sky was overcast, casting a dull, gray light over everything. I had been driving for hours, and the solitude was beginning to weigh on me. The narrow road was flanked by dense forest on one side and sheer cliffs on the other. Every twist and turn seemed more treacherous than the last. I had just rounded a particularly sharp bend when I saw him. A hitchhiker, standing by the side of the road with his thumb out. He was an older man, with weathered skin and a scruffy beard, wearing a tattered jacket and a wide-brimmed hat. There was something about him that gave me pause, but the road was so desolate that I couldn't just leave him there. I slowed down and pulled over, rolling down the passenger window. "Need a lift?" I called out. He nodded, a look of relief washing over his face. "Thanks, son," he said, his voice rough and gravelly. He climbed into the passenger seat, and I couldn't help but notice how tired he looked. "Where are you headed?" I asked as we started driving again. "Just down the road a bit," he replied, his eyes darting nervously around the car. "Name's Frank, by the way." "Nice to meet you, Frank." "I'm Jack," I said, trying to keep the conversation light. "So, what brings you out here?" He hesitated, his fingers tapping anxiously on his knee. "Just trying to get home," he said finally. "Been out here longer than I'd like." The road grew steeper, the trees closing in around us. The light was fading fast, and the atmosphere grew increasingly eerie. We drove in silence for a while, the only sound the hum of the engine and the occasional rustle of leaves in the wind. As we rounded another curve, Frank suddenly tensed. "Stop the car," he said urgently. I glanced at him, confused. "Why? What's wrong?" "Just stop the car," he insisted, his voice rising in panic. I pulled over to the side of the road, my heart pounding. Frank jumped out and started walking quickly towards the forest, his movements frantic and desperate. "Wait!" I called after him. "What's going on?" He stopped and turned to face me, his eyes wide with fear. "You shouldn't be on this road," he said, his voice trembling. "There are strange things out here." Before I could respond, he disappeared into the trees, leaving me alone on the darkening road. I sat there for a moment, trying to process what had just happened. Part of me wanted to follow him, to find out what he was so afraid of. But another part of me, the part that was rapidly growing more scared by the second, wanted to get out of there as fast as possible. I decided to keep driving, hoping to reach my destination before nightfall. The road grew even narrower, the trees closing in on either side. The air was thick with fog, making it difficult to see more than a few feet ahead. I gripped the steering wheel tightly, with tension. As I drove, I couldn't shake the feeling that I was being watched. Every rustle of leaves, every snap of a twig, seemed to echo with sinister intent. My mind raced with possibilities, each more terrifying than the last. Was there something out there, lurking in the shadows? Or was it just my imagination, fueled by Frank's ominous warning? The light was almost gone now, the world around me shrouded in darkness. I switched on the headlights, the beams cutting through the fog like knives. The road twisted and turned, each bend more treacherous than the last. My heart raced, the fear growing with every passing moment. Suddenly, I saw it. A figure standing in the middle of the road, directly in my path. I slammed on the brakes, the car skidding to a halt just inches from the figure. My heart pounded in my chest as I stared at the apparition before me. It was Frank. He stood there, his eyes wide with terror, his face pale and ghostly in the headlights. "You shouldn't be here," he whispered, his voice barely audible over the sound of the engine. I stared at him, my mind reeling. "Frank? How did you get here?" He didn't answer. Instead, he pointed to something behind me, his hand shaking with fear. I turned to look, my heart pounding in my chest. What I saw made my blood run cold. There, standing just a few feet from the car, was another figure. Tall and shadowy, its features obscured by the darkness. It moved closer, its eyes glowing with an unnatural light. My breath caught in my throat as I realized it wasn't human. I turned back to Frank, but he was gone. The road was empty, the only sound the pounding of my own heart. I fumbled for the gear shift, my hands shaking, and managed to put the car in reverse. The figure advanced, its movements slow and deliberate. I hit the gas, the car lurching backwards. The figure disappeared into the fog, but I didn't stop, I drove as fast as I could, the road a blur of trees and shadows. My mind raced, the fear consuming me. Finally, I reached the bottom of the mountain, the road widening into a more familiar landscape. I didn't stop until I reached a small town, the lights a welcome sight after the darkness of the mountain road. I pulled into a gas station, my hands still trembling, and got out of the car. The attendant looked at me with concern. "You okay, buddy?" he asked. I nodded, my mind still reeling from the experience. I took a deep breath, trying to steady myself. "There's something out there," I said, my voice barely above a whisper. "Something not human." He looked at me for a long moment, then nodded. He didn't say anything, he just nodded, his eyes filled with fear, as if he himself had already seen the figure. I stared at him, my heart pounding in my chest. I knew I would never forget that night, the terror I had felt. And I knew I would never drive up that mountain again. It was a foggy evening, the kind where the mist hangs heavy in the air, swallowing the world in a blanket of white. I had just finished visiting my grandparents in the countryside and was driving back home on a rural road. The setting sun cast an eerie glow, making the fog even more surreal. I love these drives, the solitude and peace they offered, but tonight, something felt different, something felt off. I was about an hour into my drive when I saw her. A figure, barely visible through the dense fog, standing by the side of the road. She was wearing a simple dress, her hair hanging loose around her shoulders. She looked lost, and my heart went out to her. Despite the creepy atmosphere, I couldn't just leave her there. I slowed down and pulled over, rolling down the window. "Do you need a ride?" I asked. She stepped closer, and as the light from the headlights fell on her face, I saw she was young, probably in her early 20s. Her eyes were wide, filled with a mix of fear and relief. She nodded silently and got into the passenger seat. "Thank you," she said softly, her voice trembling. "No problem," I replied, trying to sound reassuring. "Where are you headed?" "Just down the road," she murmured, not making eye contact. We drove in silence for a while. I tried to engage her in conversation, but her responses were brief and distant. She kept glancing out the window, her body tense. I could feel the unease radiating from her, and it was making me anxious too. The road wound through dense woods, the fog clinging to the trees like a shroud. Every so often, I'd catch a glimpse of something moving in the periphery, but when I looked directly, there was nothing there. The silence in the car was oppressive, broken only by the occasional hum of the engine and the soft rustle of the girl's dress. Suddenly, she spoke. "You should be careful on this road," she said, her voice barely above a whisper. I glanced at her, my curiosity piqued. "Why do you say that?" She hesitated, her fingers twisting nervously in her lap. They say this road is haunted." I forced a laugh. "Haunted, huh? By who?" "Not who," she corrected, her voice growing even quieter. "What?" A chill ran down my spine. "What do you mean?" She took a deep breath, her eyes darting nervously to the window. "There are things out here, things that shouldn't exist. They appear out of nowhere, vanish without a trace. People have seen them, but no one believes it until it happens to them." I felt a knot of fear tighten in my stomach. "Like ghosts?" She nodded slowly. "Something like that." We continued driving, the tension in the car thickening with each passing moment. I couldn't shake the feeling that we were being watched. The fog seemed to press in on us, suffocating and relentless. The road ahead was barely visible, and every shadow seemed to pulse with unseen menace. Then the girl started to fade. At first, I thought it was just my imagination, a trick of the fog and the dim light. But when I looked directly at her, she was transparent, her form flickering like a faulty hologram. I slammed on the brakes, my heart pounding in my chest. "What's happening?" I cried, my voice tinged with panic. And then, she was gone. The seat beside me was empty, as if she had never been there. I sat there, my mind reeling, my body shaking with fear. I could still feel the chill of her presence, the echo of her words lingering in the air. I didn't move for what felt like an eternity, my mind struggling to process what had just happened. Finally, I forced myself to start the car and drive on, my eyes scanning the road ahead for any sign of movement. The fog was beginning to lift, the first light of dawn breaking through the trees. When I reached the nearest town, I pulled into a gas station. I stumbled inside, my hands still trembling, and asked the attendant if he had heard of any ghost stories about the road. He looked at me with a mixture of sympathy and wariness. "You saw her, didn't you?" he asked. I nodded, my throat too dry to speak. He sighed and shook his head. "You're not the first. There's a story that goes around here about a girl who died on that road years ago. They say she hitchhikes, looking for someone to tell her story. But no one ever knows what really happened to her." I left the gas station in a daze, my mind swirling with unanswered questions. I drove home in silence, the memory of the vanishing passenger etched into my mind. I knew I would never forget her, or the fear that had gripped me that night. And every time I drive down a lonely road at night, I can't help but glance at the passenger seat, half expecting to see her sitting there. It was a crisp, clear night as I drove my truck along a desolate stretch of highway. The stars were bright, the moon was full, and I was the only vehicle for miles. The road was flanked by dense forests on both sides, their shadows stretching out menacingly under the moonlight. I was on a long-haul trip, and though I usually enjoyed the solitude, this particular night felt different, unsettling, even. I had been driving for hours without a break, so when I saw a figure standing by the side of the road, I almost didn't believe my eyes. It was rare to see anyone out here, especially this late at night. As I got closer, I could make out a man, his thumb sticking out in the universal sign of a hitchhiker. He was wearing a tattered jacket and jeans, his face obscured by the shadow of a hood. I hesitated. Picking up hitchhikers was something I usually avoided, but there was something about the man's stance, his apparent desperation, that made me reconsider. I pulled over, the engine's hum fading as I rolled down the window. "Need a ride?" I asked, trying to sound casual. The man stepped closer, and as the light from the dashboard fell on his face, I felt a shiver run down my spine. His eyes were dark and hollow, his expression unreadable. He nodded slowly and climbed into the passenger seat without a word. We drove in silence for a few minutes, the only sound the steady hum of the tires on the asphalt. I tried to start a conversation, asking where he was headed, but he only gave vague, monosyllabic answers. His presence was unnerving, there was a coldness about him that seemed to seep into the cab of the truck. As the miles passed, strange things began to happen. The radio, which had been playing softly, suddenly turned to static. I fiddled with the dial, but no station came through. A chill ran through the cab, and I glanced at the hitchhiker, who was staring straight ahead, unblinking. "Cold night," I said, trying to break the tension. He didn't respond. Then, out of the corner of my eye, I saw him smile. It was a slow, deliberate smile that sent a jolt of fear through me. I gripped the steering wheel tighter, my knuckles turning white. The air in the cab felt thick, oppressive, and I could feel my heart pounding in my chest. We continued in silence, the atmosphere growing more tense with each passing mile. The hitchhiker's presence was like a dark cloud, casting a shadow over the entire truck. I couldn't shake the feeling that something was terribly wrong. Suddenly, the man spoke, his voice low and gravelly. "You ever heard of the lost souls on this highway?" I swallowed hard, trying to keep my voice steady. "Can't say I have." He turned to look at me, his eyes piercing through the darkness. "They say this road is cursed. that those who die here are doomed to wander it forever, looking for a way out. I forced a laugh, but it came out strained. Sounds like a ghost story. His smile widened, and he leaned closer. It's more than just a story. The words hung in the air, and I felt a cold sweat break out on my forehead. I glanced at the clock on the dashboard. It was stuck at 3:33 a.m. My hands were trembling, and I knew I had to get him out of my truck. I spotted a rest area up ahead and pulled in, the tires crunching on the gravel. "This is as far as I can take you," I said, trying to keep my voice calm. The hitchhiker didn't move. He just stared at me, his eyes dark and hollow. "You shouldn't have stopped," he whispered, his voice barely audible. A wave of panic washed over me. "Get out," I demanded, my voice rising. He slowly opened the door and stepped out, his movements deliberate and eerie. As he walked away, he turned back one last time, his smile chilling me to the bone. "Drive safe," he said, and then he was gone, swallowed by the darkness. I slammed the door shut and sped off, my heart racing. I didn't stop until I reached the next town, my mind racing with what had just happened. I pulled into a diner, needing the comfort of bright lights and other people. As I sat at the counter, sipping a cup of coffee with trembling hands, I told the attendant what had happened. She told me about the legend of the sinister hitchhiker, a man who died on that stretch of highway and whose spirit now roams the road, looking for a ride. My blood ran cold. I had heard the stories before, but had always dismissed them as mere folklore. But after my encounter, I wasn't so sure. I never picked up another hitchhiker again, and every time I drove that desolate highway, I couldn't shake the feeling that I was being watched. The memory of that night stayed with me. And every now and then, when the night is especially quiet and the road stretches out endlessly before me, I catch a glimpse of a figure standing by the roadside, his thumb outstretched, waiting for his next ride. If you enjoyed this video, make sure to subscribe to our channel and hit the like button for more terrifying tales. Don't miss our latest video, Disturbing Hospital Horror Stories, where we reveal eerie and unsettling experiences that happen in hospitals. These stories will make you think twice about your next visit to the hospital. See you in the next video.
NASCAR on Prime lights up Music City. Who's got what it takes to tackle the concrete at Nashville Super Speedway and walk away with NASCAR's coolest trophy? Stream the NASCAR Cup Series at Nashville, Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, where music meets motorsports, only on Prime.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.